Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
John Jastrzemski. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Alrighty. Let's roll, baby. It's 7:01 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski. We are guiding you through the next 4 hours. We're right here on the Fan. Get aboard at 877-337-6666. We welcome in the tag team that is split up. One via his humble abode in Mr. Peter Hoffman. And then you have the shark himself, Paul Rosenberg, back in our studios on the other side of the glass. You have Ack with the update at the top of every hour, and we are with you up until 11 o'clock. Then it will be the schmooze, Stevie Summers, coming your way then, the Fan, right here in New York City. And it's this, like, never-ending search, this never-ending quest, and I kind of feel like in many ways I've like exhausted every last possibility, every last nook and cranny for when exactly you will get that return to sports that we're all waiting for and waiting for in a big way. But from an NBA side of things, from an NBA perspective, it looks like the wheels now are officially in motion to get the season back underway. And this has been reported, so there's no surprise here. Down in Orlando, Florida, Disney World, and we're talking about a date of July the 31st for when this would all shake out. And I got to be honest, the first thing I thought of when I saw the initial date, July 31st, hold on a second. It is now May the 29th. July 31st is another 2 months from now. So it's basically like giving it a whole new ramp-up period, training camp period. Like, let's think about this for a minute. The NBA finals are usually, what, in early to mid-June? And the season, what, starts mid to late October? So normally you're talking about July, August, and September as the layoff period before the NBA resumes play. Well, we're basically looking at yet another off-season period due to everything that went on with the pandemic before the NBA starts up again. And we all knew that was going to be the case anyway. But by, I guess, adding on a couple more months to this, you know, timetable, or a couple more weeks to this timetable, July 31st seems like a long, long time from now. But I'll take it. I don't know about you guys. I'll gladly take it. Because if I can envision some sort of plan by the time you hit that date, then the NBA playoffs going into August, and yeah, dare I say, the NBA finals going into the month of September, it gives you that hope, it gives you that illusion that that light at the end of the tunnel for sports fans is actually there. And I will commend the NBA if indeed they're going to send 16 teams directly to the playoffs and they would do some sort of group stage play in which you try to determine the final couple of teams and the final couple of seeds. Because guess what? Damian Lillard was 1,000% right when he said, look, why in the world are we as the Portland Trailblazers going to go down to, you know, Disney World, we're going to play there for a couple of weeks, and then basically we have no chance of making the playoffs? Like, what is the point of us going down? If we don't have a legitimate hope of making the postseason, there is absolutely no reason for us to play. I wholeheartedly agree with that. To me, if you're going to send these teams down, and I get it, they need the additional television revenue, whether it's for a regional network, whether it's for this team, that team, what have you. They all need that additional money. That's great. But you have to find a way to give it that added incentive, even as hopeless and even as far-fetched as it may be. Because, listen, we all know in the NBA, it's not like the NHL, it's not like Major League Baseball, where these teams that are in the 7-8 range in a normal year go on Cinderella runs and make the NBA Finals. And I'm well aware the 98-99 Knicks went to the NBA Finals in a lockout year. But that is not par for the course. More often than not, that 7 or 8 seed is a total waste of time in the playoffs, and they get bounced in 4 or 5 games. So because of that, you're all of a sudden putting your health at risk to some degree. You're bringing your family down to Florida. It's this unique set of circumstances. You have to do right by your players and at least give them the illusion that, hey, you're competing for something. So that's where the added play-in in some capacity comes into play. I like that. Giving me that play-in tourney, or giving me, you know, a play-in tourney for the final seeds, or group stage play, there are options that make sense. There are options that we can understand. And it, at the very least, puts the wheels in motion somewhat. That dare I say, return could be there. Now, I was thinking about this, and if you guys were listening to my shows throughout the overnight for really the last 2 or 3 months, as the void with live sports has been there, I mean, I think we all know that. And listen, trust me when I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that I have kind of grown very, very tired of rewatching so many old games. And I've done my fair share of it. There's still a select few that I might pop in for a little bit here, a little bit there. Like, I'll give you an example. I haven't watched Game 5 of the 96 ALCS probably since I was a little kid. You know, I've seen a highlight here, a highlight there, but I saw on the MLB Network's Instagram page, and, you know, they're doing this 60-plus hour tribute to Derek Jeter, this 60-plus hour Yankee Shrine, if you will. But they are re-airing at 10 o'clock at night the Jeter Yankees. I should say the Yankees, because I don't even know what Derek Jeter did in that 95 game or 96 game, Game 5 against Baltimore. I want to say that was a big day for Cecil Fielder and Daryl Strawberry, because all I remember in that series is Jeffrey Mayer, and I remember Andy Pettit pitching Game 5. I remember Jeter getting Cal Ripken to end the game in Game number 5. And I remember Big Daddy and the Straw Man dropping bombs at Camden Yards. I mean, they hit bomb after bomb after bomb. And I remember so many Yankee fans at the time were like, oh, why are we trading for Cecil Fielder? Why are we making a move to sign Daryl Strawberry? All this small ball, all this, you know, manufacturing of runs is what I want to see from the Yankees, like they did in the first half. No, they were smart enough to realize they needed a little more firepower in that lineup. And I say this without hesitation. The Yankees do not win the 96 World Series if you didn't have Straw and you didn't have Big Daddy. I mean, Big Daddy had big hit after big hit after big hit, and was good enough that in Game 3, 4, and 5 down in Atlanta, Tino Martinez found his way on the bench, which was the right move and the wise move by Joe Torre. But I have not seen that Game 5 against Baltimore. So I'm going to watch a little of it tonight. I have nothing to do. Maybe a little poker game, maybe a beverage or two, but I'm going to watch that Game 5. I'll be dialed in on that. But the Orioles were a part of that time period in baseball where they had a damn good team. I mean, they had Roberto Alomar for a couple of years. They had Brady Anderson with 50 home runs. Palmeiro, Ripken, BJ Surhoff, who was a terrific player. You had Messina. You had Scott Erickson. That year, you had David Wells. I mean, they were well-rounded. They were quite good. But they do not even compare to the best teams of that era that didn't find a way to win a championship. And for me, you got to have a group together of, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years at a time to kind of fit this description. And the Orioles, they were good for 2 years. But the Indians were better. I mean, think about the Cleveland Indians in the 1990s. At the beginning, it was Albert Bell, was Kenny Lofton, it was Carlos Baerga. But as that team started to come of age, and they said goodbye to Baerga, traded him to the Mets. They said goodbye to Albert Bell. He found his way to Chicago White Sox. You saw the emergence of guys who were Hall of Fame talents. Jim Thome. Even though he's not going to find his way to the Hall of Fame because of steroids, and he looks like he's like 70 years old right now with the gray speckles. Not even gray speckles. He looks like Santa Claus. If you saw an Instagram photo of Manny Ramirez that Big Poppy posted the other day. But I mean, those Indian teams, you had Manny, you had Thome. When you swapped Lofton, you had Marquise Grissom, who was an underrated player in the 90s. You had David Justice on those teams. You had Omar Vizquel holding down shortstop. You either had Matt Williams or Travis Fryman at third base. You had Sandy Alomar behind the plate. I mean, those were damn good Indian teams. And an Indian team that should have won a World Series. They get there in 95. They had a record-setting year. They lose to Atlanta. It was Atlanta's time to win a championship. 97, they beat the Yankees. Sandy Alomar's home run off Mariano Rivera. The emergence of Jared Wright. And that 97 World Series, you got one run lead going in the bottom half of the ninth inning. And Jose Mesa can't close the deal against Florida. And then the Marlins end up winning that game on the Edgar Renteria walk-off. And then the Indians had a chance the following year against the Yankees. It was by far and away their biggest challenge. It's not even close. Because that series, they're down 2-1. Needed El Duque to bail them out. That was after Knobloch, remember, is blowing the bubble gum. And he's arguing the bunk call at first base. That was when the Yankees were tested in that record-setting 98 year. But I mean, from 94 to about 2000, 2001, the Indians were a team where they could easily make the case we should have won a championship. Seattle Mariners were a team that wasn't quite as good record-wise as the Indians. But from a talent standpoint, it is pretty crazy to think about the fact that Seattle never even got to a World Series. And the amazing thing with the Mariners, folks, they kind of evolved as a team. Because it was Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez, Jay Buhner when they took on the Yankees in 95. But think about the emergence the following year of Alex Rodriguez and adding him into that lineup. Mariners, with a bunch of Hall of Fame players, didn't get to a World Series. Now, they were good for a while. 95 ALCS, 97 they were in the playoffs. Then they trade Griffey Jr. They trade Randy Johnson. Didn't blow up the franchise. Because 2000 and 2001, they're playing in the LCS. Losing to the Yankees. Losing to the Yankees with Justice hitting the bomb off Arthur Rhodes. And then, of course, that record-setting 2001 Mariner team. With Ichiro, with Brett Boone, that won 116 games. And was no match for the Yankees. They had no chance of beating them in 2001. But if you go through history and you think about each of the four sports, I'm sure you could dive into teams that you look at where you say, man, how in the world did they not win a title? And we all basically relived this a couple weeks ago as we were watching and we were all dialed into the Last Dance. Michael Jordan is winning championship after championship, but yet you felt Patrick Ewing and the New York Knickerbockers were right there. And they were right there plenty of times. So, we'll get into the return of the NBA. We'll get into where you should rate Derek Jeter. Is he overrated? Is he underrated? Is he fairly rated? We'll dive into that in a little bit. But what I want you guys to do right now, and we'll explore a bunch of these teams throughout the course of this show, is I want you to dive into in all four of the sports. Think about it for a minute. The best teams, and I don't want one individual year. I want at least a team that was together for a 3, 4, or 5 year run. They're together for at least 3 years. Fits the description for me. But that didn't win a title. And because of the talent they may have brought to the table, they should have won a title. I gave you two to get the ball rolling. The 90s Indians, the 90s Mariners. But, I mean, if you examine all four of the sports, there are a ton to get to. So, of course, your calls, 877-337-6666, a Friday edition. It's John Jastrzemski. We're keeping you company right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.